And opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily...
You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Lord, thank you for sending us your divine mercy through Saint Faustina. We give you praise and glory and thank you. And live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, this is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air.
And thank you, that was Joan Chiffo, and I'm Dr. Anthony F. Chiffo, and we're here to tell you...
We love Jesus.
And we love you too, listeners. Thank you for listeners. And we got a special guest here today. But before I introduce the special guest, I just want to thank all the listeners and for your support, for your donations to help keep Dr. Palmer's legacy alive. He was my co-founder for the radio show that passed. And we're trying to keep the show going, at least for this year, and I think we're going to make it. And so all your contributions are much appreciative. You can send it to my name, Listen Up, at WGBB, and WGBB at, oh, I'm forgetting my address. No, you can send it to WGBB at 1840 Flushing Avenue, Ridgewood, New York, 11385. So you can send it to Listen Up at 1827 Flushing Avenue at Ridgewood, New York, 11385. Or you can just go onto the website, put Donate Now, and press a donation, and we'll be much appreciative, and we have a great package for you if you do donate. Okay, so let's get on with the show. Before we get on with the show, by the way, our friend Al Barbarino sings the opening song, and he has a little announcement he'd like to make.
Okay, you gotta wait 1 second. Okay, on Sunday, April 10th, the Knights of Columbus is sponsoring a luncheon, Chinese auction, actually, at Our Lady of Grace in Babylon, between 1 and 5 p.m. All proceeds raised will help to support the Life Center of Long Island. The guest speaker for that event is Al Barbarino. And I guess he'll also sing a few songs, too. So please try to help support the most worthy event, which will help the Life Center of Long Island. Thank you.
Okay, that's our dear friend Al Barbarino, who's a great supporter of the show. So let's introduce our guest. Our guest is Dawn...
Eskew,
and she's a board member of the World Apostolate of Fatima.
Yes.
Which is a very worldwide organization. And she's also the founder of Personhood Education for New York. I'd like to talk about both aspects, the World Apostolate of Fatima, which I'm familiar with, and also talk about the Personhood Education of New York.
Yes.
Which is tied into the right to life. Is that correct?
It is a pro-life movement. And we take the position of protecting all human life from the moment of protection, from the moment of conception to natural death. So, and where whenever personhood is attacked or a human being, an innocent human being, might lose their life, we are there to educate and teach.
Okay. So, but what do you mean by that? How are you there? How are you there to educate?
Well, Personhood Education New York has a program called the Pillars of Personhood. And it is a program that other personhood states have. There are other states that have the personhood movement. New York is just one of them. And we have access to a program, a wonderful educational program where you can go to churches and schools. I like going to college campuses. The program is, how it works, it's a two-day program. We teach, it's about a five-hour program. We did it once already last month. We're getting ready to do it again. And we teach about when you're a person, when you're human, and then we go into the science side of it, like with in vitro fertilization, and there are things, because of the advancement in science, do you know that scientists, research, they are making half human and half animal. Did you know that? They're doing that right
no.
now.
No. I feared it, but I really didn't know it.
I know. It doesn't sound real, but that is what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah. So we teach about those things and what is out there and what's going on and where we need to be to protect life.
So how did you get started?
Okay. Well,
someone didn't just come and whisper in your ear,
no,
did they?
Nope. Well, I've always been pro-life, but okay. I didn't really get involved. And I would pray outside the abortion mill, but I really didn't get as involved until my daughters went to college. I got more involved with my church at that point, and I helped set up the World Apostolate of Fatima division in our diocese. And through there, one of the things we have to do is have a prayer cell. So, and we have a spiritual program. In that rosary prayer cell, we go through a meditation process and a program, a spiritual program, where we learn and go deeper into the messages of Fatima. Through that program, and also Father Apostoli, you know Father Apostoli, mm-hmm. with the Franciscans of the Renewal, he mm-hmm. has a program, Sunday prime time on mm-hmm. EWTN.
Yes.
He wrote a book called Fatima for Today, and in his book, he said that, Our Lady, well, he didn't say this, but you know Our Lady, the whole purpose of Our Lady coming at Fatima was to oppose and to fight communism, to get rid of communism in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That was her whole purpose. Mm-hmm. And if we did not get rid of communism, her errors would spread, right? And so in Father Apostoli's book, he said that the culture of death, which we have today, is the communism. That is the remnant of communism.
Okay.
So through my prayer cell and going deeper into the messages of Fatima, I realized I felt called to do something more. Now, I knew about the personhood movement, and how I came to know about it was, I think it was 2008, in the news, was a little blip of success. There was a bill in South Dakota that, you know, there's the House and the Senate. Well, or the Assembly and the Senate. The Assembly had passed, but the Senate didn't. It was that kind of a thing. But it had passed where abortion was banned. And I said, oh my goodness, what's going on here? So that was a personhood organization that helped to push that. And it was a personhood mm-hmm. bill. So when I saw that, I said, well, I'm a chemist. I'm also a chemist, okay? I did research.
Amongst other things.
Yeah. I did research at Cornell Medical University. So when you do research And when you're trying to find a success in something, is it working? Is what you're doing working? There's, you know, you right. see a blip. And you put in the machine, the instrument, and you get a blip. And you say, okay, something's going on here. So when I saw that in around 2008, this blip, I call it a blip, of success, I said, something is going on here. And this was a personhood movement. I kept following this organization. And so I knew about it for a couple of years. Okay, so I get involved with the World Apostolate of Fatima. And I learn that the culture of death is the remnant of communism. And John Paul II says Fatima is more important today than it was in 1917. I felt more called that this is something, if the culture of death is something that Our Lady came to stop, and as a mother wanted her voice to be heard, and she said that she would do this miracle. Usually we hear Jesus will perform the miracle. But Jesus gave his mother the power to have a miracle. And the miracle was, we all know, the miracle of the sun, when the sun came down. That was the greatest miracle since the incarnation and the resurrection of our Lord.
Absolutely.
So our Lady, our mother, couldn't make any greater emphasis than that. She says, this is something really big. So I felt called to do something more, and that was the personhood movement.
I see. So you actually felt you wanted to stretch out
the time
or the movement. You wanted to stretch out the movement.
She began the movement.
But you wanted it to be conclusive, to include no exceptions.
Exactly.
Is that what we're getting at?
Yes.
And so.
No exceptions for rape and incest.
Okay.
Yes.
So where does that stand today? How is it? What's going on with that today? What is the right to life? How are they going ahead and forging ahead with, you know, no exceptions? Are they forging ahead with no exceptions?
Well, after 40 plus years, you know, when Roe v. Wade first came into existence, they said it was supposed to be, they wanted to make it legal and rare and safe. That's what they said. It is not safe, and it is certainly not rare. The only thing, after 40-plus years of Roe v. Wade, it is legal. It is not safe. There are so many dangers. We know after 40 years that women regret their abortion. They are punished. I'm talking about their regrets is a punishment.
Yeah,
they regret it. It hurts them psychologically. There are studies that have come out that of increase in suicide, alcoholism, drug abuse is the psychological side of it, which is a painful place to be living until you. Rachel's Vineyard is a wonderful place for healing. So. We have not succeeded. We have not made any advancements to reducing abortion, making
yes.
it rare. It has expanded, if anything else.
That's obvious. And so the fight goes on.
Exactly.
The fight goes on, and it's your opinion that the fight should not only go on, but it should be stretched out with no exceptions. There should be no exceptions for abortion.
Yes. Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. We have one of the personhood leaders is Rebecca Kiesling. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rebecca Kiesling.
No.
She's come to Long Island a couple of times. She's gone to some of our high schools. She went to Chaminade, Kellenberg, and spoke. She is a wonderful spokesperson against the rape exception. She herself was conceived in rape.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother was actually went to two back alley abortion mills. This is prior to Roe v. Wade passing. I think she said it was, anyway, I don't know. But anyway, it was before Roe v. Wade passing. Her mother did attempt abortion.
Okay.
And she went to two back alley abortion mills and changed her mind because it was illegal. So Rebecca Kiesling was given up for adoption. And then later on found out that she was adopted. And then in the process of trying to find who her parents were, she found out that she was conceived in rape. And she went through an identity crisis, if you will. Now she speaks out and says she owes her life to the law, not to her mother. But to the law.
L-A-W.
Oh, because her mother didn't do this for any other reason but that it was illegal.
Okay. So, and she also goes out and says, why should an innocent child die a death penalty because of the sins of the father? The rapist doesn't even get the death penalty. Why should an innocent unborn child get the death penalty?
I agree.
Yeah.
And sure. I agree with that 100%. I do want to also emphasize not only Fatima, but this is the Divine Mercy weekend. And I want to do a little something about Divine Mercy and tie it in with your perspective.
Yes.
And I think that Divine Mercy does tie in very well with
I
it.
Do too.
So I like to play a song. Okay. Mercy. Okay, maestro.
On me, wash and cleanse me. Make me holy like thee, like thee. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. On me. Wash and cleanse me. Make me holy like thee. Like thee.
Mercy, 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 mercy. It surrounds us. Pope Francis has extended mercy to us. Jesus has used Saint Faustina for mercy for us. It's just that heaven is bestowing mercy on us. Aren't we fools if we don't take it? I want Joan to read us an article in one of the bulletins about mercy, but before I do, I got to clarify my opening statements. I guess I'm under medication for my situation, so I messed it up, but I want to clarify it. If you want to make a donation, you can go onto our website, listen-up.net. Go to donate now, and you could donate through PayPal or a credit card or whatever. Or you can send us a check to Listen Up, 1827 Flushing Avenue, Ridgewood, New York, 11385, and make the check simply out to Listen Up. Every penny of the donations goes strictly for paying the radio station, which, as you know, is not cheap. So we put every penny towards it, and we hope to be able to have enough at least to stretch out Dr. Palmer's legacy for this year. Okay, so now that I rectified myself and I stopped my foolishness, and I hope the people don't think I'm such a dope.
No, we'll give you mercy.
Okay, I need that mercy. So don't quickly read what mercy's all about, okay, if you can.
Well, this is about the Feast of Divine Mercy. The Feast of Divine Mercy is the means by which the Church accepts the whole message of Christ's redemption. On Good Friday, we remember his suffering, death, and burial. And on Easter, we celebrate his glorious resurrection. On Divine Mercy Sunday, we trust that his mercy endures forever, and his saving grace is offered to each of us in a very personal way. The image of Divine Mercy is the Lord's gift to the Church. Jesus asked Saint Faustina to have it made to represent the risen Christ, bringing mercy to the world. He told her to have the image painted with two rays of light shining out of the Sacred Heart and illuminating the world. The two rays of light represent blood and water. During St. Faustina's canonization, Pope John Paul II explained the meaning of these two rays of light. We immediately think of the testimony given by the evangelist John, who, when a soldier on Calvary pierced Jesus' side with the spear, sees blood and water flowing from it. He said, "Moreover, if the blood recalls the sacrifice of the cross and the gift of the Eucharist, the water represents not only baptism, but the gift of the Holy Spirit."
And so there is your Divine Mercy. Now, Saint Faustina plays a very big part in Divine Mercy and Divine Mercy Weekend. And Jesus has touched St. Faustina's life ever since she was a little child. I think what I would like to do at this point is just give a quick talk about St. Faustina. Would that be okay with you guys?
Absolutely.
And why? Why is this divine mercy so important? Because, you know, St. Faustina was given the privilege of seeing what hell was all about, seeing what heaven is all about, and, yeah, seeing what purgatory is all about. But let's just quickly talk about St. Faustina as the saint of the day. Was that okay, Joan?
Sure.
Okay. So St. Faustina is known today and the world over as the apostolate of the divine mercy. He's classified by theologians among the outstanding mystics of the church. She was born August 1905 and died October 5th, 1938. The third of 10 children, born into a poor and pious peasant family in the heart of Poland. At her baptism, she was given the name of Helena. As a child, she distinguished herself by her piety, love of prayer, industriousness, and obedience, as well as by the great sensitivity to human misery. She had hardly 3 years of schooling, and at that age of fourteen, she left the family to help her parents and earn her own livelihood, serving as a domestic in nearby cities. Throughout her life, she reported a number of visions of Jesus and conversations with him, which she wrote about in the diary. And she has a quite extensive diary. And as I mentioned, she talks about visiting heaven, hell, and purgatory. We all should read it, because there is such a thing as heaven, hell, and purgatory. When she was only 2 years before her Holy Communion, she already sensed in her heart the call to embrace the religious life. When she made her desire known to her parents, they did not acquiesce to her centering a convent because of this situation. She strove to get them to agree, and on August 1st, 1925, at the age of 19, she saw a vision of a suffering Jesus and rushed to the church, where she was told by Jesus to join a convent again. She pressed on by a vision of the suffering Christ and by the words of his approach, "How long shall I put up with you? And how long will you keep putting me off?" That's in her diary, number 9. She began to search for a convent to join. She knocked on many convent doors, and nowhere was she accepted. Finally, she was given an opportunity to join a convent of the Sisters of the Lady of Mercy. She entered the cloister in the convent of the Congregation of Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy in Warsaw. In her diary, she said it seemed she had stepped into the life of paradise. However, she knew nothing about the convent. She was journeying as a lay sister, and because of a lack of education, would probably not advance. She was told that and was convinced that would happen. Soon she began to receive heavenly visions. She visited purgatory, as I said. She saw and spoke to Jesus and Mary several times. She visited hell, and it is outlined in her diary. Finally, however, on February 1931, Jesus revealed to her what her real mission was supposed to be. He had a vision of Jesus as the King of Divine Mercy, wearing a white garment with rays and white red emanating from his heart. She wrote that Jesus told her to paint an image according to the pattern you saw, with the signature, "Jesus, I trust in you." No, nothing how to paint. She knew nothing about painting. She approached some nuns at the convent and received not too much assistance. 3 years later, a rendition was prepared under her direction, and Jesus told her to have it blessed, and on the first Sunday of Easter, that Sunday was to be known as the Feast of Mercy. After she passed, many task given by the church. Her efforts were supported, and the artist, Eugene Kazimagoski. The only way I can pronounce that name correctly is because my wife is Polish. And she asked to have the image drawn and based on the direction of what Faustina told her. She became ill in 1936 and died in 1938. The picture was repressed for over 20 years. In 1959, her message was finally accepted in 1978. Faustina was beatified on April 18, 1993, and canonized on April 30, 2000. She was the first saint in the 21st century to be canonized. Divine Mercy Sunday is celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. The fact that her Vatican biography directly quotes some of her conversations with Jesus distinguishes her among the many reported visions of Jesus and Mary. It was estimated that those following the Divine Mercy devotion is over 100 million Catholics today. And so tomorrow will be the Divine Mercy.
And I'd just like to say that tomorrow at St. Catherine of Siena in Franklin Square, there'll be a Year of Mercy devotion for us all to say together, Jesus, I trust in thee. And after the 1 p.m. Mass, they will have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, the opportunity for confession, and in the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 o'clock. Benediction will be at 3:45, and there will also be an opportunity to venerate the relic of St. Faustina.
Very good. And also, listeners, by the way, this is a grassroots program. If you have something you want to say, if you have a comment, if you have a question for the guest, you can text it to us at 516-712-7005. 516-712-7005. I know I mentioned this late, but text us any questions that you may have, especially about the right to life, etc. If you don't want to text it to 7005, text it to 516-712-7004, and Joni will get that text.
Okay.
All right, so let's get back to our guest. A very interesting guest, a very devoted guest. So what's your vision, Dawn? What's your vision? I mean, I could see with all the stuff that you do, you work hard, you're out there, you're trying very much to spread the word, you're trying very much to save lives. What's your vision? What do you expect to do?
Well, I don't expect that I can do anything. I really believe it is only with the grace of God that we each have a purpose and we each have a mission. But we are only the tool. And as long as we try to stay close to God, then we can accomplish things. So what is my vision? My vision is that abortion is made unthinkable, whether it's legal or not. We want to make it unthinkable. A more loving society where we help women. And another thing that the personhood movement has taken under its wing is supporting marriage between one man and one woman. And in that way, the child is best protected.
So you know what I'm getting? I know you're going to think I'm a little wacky.
No, that's okay.
That's okay.
Figured
many,
that out already.
Many people do think I'm a little wacky. I can't blame it on my medication and my situation that I'm going through.
I haven't been on medication that long.
But look, God sent the message to Mary, and she unequivocally said yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Jesus sent a message to St. Faustina at an early age. and she was captivated with the visions of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she absolutely said yes. Mm-hmm. It took a while for the church to accept it, but it certainly did accept it. You're getting messages, I think, and you're saying yes. And you're not only, I don't believe you're not only saying yes, but you're ready, willing, and able to work on it and to proceed
to
with
do
it.
God's work.
Well, let me tell you, it wasn't easy to take the first step.
Which it usually sometimes isn't easy. Yeah.
Because...
That's a good point. I love that you said that. Yeah. I love that you said that.
All I ever wanted to do was to be an at-home mom. That's all I ever wanted to do.
Uh-huh. But and so you're an at-home mom.
So, well...
She was.
I was. I even homeschooled my daughters.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So, but when they went to college, I mean, how much, what, how, okay, so what's left to do? Clean the house? I mean, come on, you got to do something else. So I did get involved with the church. I felt, I always had a love for Our Lady of Fatima, always, even as a child. My mother worked. I think of all my friends, I was the only kid whose mother worked, okay? So I always wanted to have my mother next to me. And who replaced? That was Our Lady, okay?
That you failed selected you.
Well, I asked her to stay close to me. You know, when my mother isn't here, stay close to me. So I always had that
connection,
yes. Yeah. And then, so when my kids went off to college and I said, okay, I'm going to do this thing with the World Apostolate of Fatima. And then when I said, okay, so this is about the culture of death. So, and I know about personhood. Yeah, I liked personhood. And then I got to a point where I said, okay, if I die, and Jesus says, okay, so what did you do for me? And I said, well, I knew about personhood, but I didn't do it because I didn't think I could do it. And then I hear, well, you don't trust me, okay?
Yeah.
So I said, man, I got to do this thing?
That is phenomenal.
Really? And So finally, it was in the middle of the night, and I said, okay, I will do this. I will take the very first step. I'm telling Our Lady. I will take the very first step. If you're not there, I mean, you got to make this thing happen. If you're not there,
that's it.
I'm off the hook. Well, I took the first step, and I made a phone call to Dan Becker. He was the National Field Director to get personhood going. And he said, okay, I want you to read this, 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 and this. And I said, okay, and then you got to go call all the leaders across New York State. And he gave me constructive stuff to do. I said, okay, and I'm going to be in New York in 2 months, get all the leaders together. I said, okay. Well, that was in 2000, that was 2013, January 2013. And I have been running ever since.
Wow.
Amazing.
It is very humiliating because I am called to talk like I'm doing now, talk about it, and it is very hard, but I call on Our Lady, Our Lady of Fatima. Today, by the way, is First Saturday.
Yes, First Saturday. Absolutely.
That's right.
First five Saturdays devotion.
Yes.
So, but I call on her and I say, look, I'm doing this to help you. Please, you got to help me. It's the only way it's going to happen. And that's how it happened.
And that's the way, you know, this is very similar to the radio show. We started the radio show in January of 2011. And we said, you know, look, we'll go with it, Jesus, if this is what you want us to do, because we got, John and I did get a calling to do it. But we'll put it in your hands, you know, and we'll do it. Actually, we said we'll do it for 5 years. And after that, you have to take it over and get, you know, the money for it. We did lay out the money 5 years straight. And it just so happened that almost at the end of the fifth year, John, my partner, co-founder, passed away. And I don't know if this is a message. And it so happened in March 7th, I got an alleged
heart attack.
March, 3-4 months ago.
Oh.
And now I say it was alleged because I don't believe it was, but they called it a three.
I was there.
Oh, Joni was there. She saw it. I can't even exaggerate it. So I don't know. I'm evaluating this stuff, and I'm asking Jesus, because I put everything into his hands.
Yeah.
If you want me to continue, allow me to continue.
Yeah. Help.
If
us.
You think you had enough of me, hey, I'll accept it, and I'll bow out. But tell me what you want me to do.
Yes.
So.
And I said, you'll need a new partner. But I didn't say it was going to be me. I said, Jesus will bring you one. Don't worry.
And Jesus brought me Joni. So Joni's my partner. So, these are the way things happen.
Yeah. Well, life. What about Mother Angelica?
Mother
Her
Angelica.
Her calling and what she did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting it in the hands of Jesus. I say a prayer. One of my prayers I say every night, and I say it 10 times. Jesus, I'm putting everything into your hands. Just do with me as you want. And I say it 10 times. And I trust he'll let me do what he wants me to do.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. Yeah. So I'm very impressed with your devotion and your dedication and how you are so devoted to Fatima. I didn't get the gist of how did this all start.
Oh, my goodness.
The personhood?
Yeah, the personhood.
How did it start?
Yeah, when you say personhood,
okay.
What does it mean to people?
Okay. So,
Do I make sense or do I sound like the village idiot?
You're making perfect sense.
Don't forget, if I sound like the village idiot, I'm on medication.
Okay. So when the court case was going on with Roe v. Wade, Justice Blackmun told the attorney who was pushing for abortion, he said, you would have a very hard time getting this law passed if the fetus was defined as a person. So, and she said, yes, I know, that is true. I know that. So from there, once Roe v. Wade was passed, those who wanted to fight and end abortion said, okay, this is the mission. We are going to have the unborn child defined as a person. Okay. So that's how it all started.
Okay. All right. So that's the way it started, and that's the way you got involved into
from
it?
From
there on?
Nellie Gray was a personhood person, and she, her way of getting the awareness out was the March for Life.
Right.
Judy Brown with American Life League, her way was to form her organization and teach our society about when we're a person.
You selected a song. Access to play, and I think Joan, you found it. Breathe.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Right, you found this.
It's called Breathe. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And Joan did find it. I was amazed that she was able to find it. What do you say we play it? Can we?
Sure.
Okay, we're gonna hear Breathe.
What?
Just what I told you to do all the time.
is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily breath. This is my daily breath.
Selection there, Dawn. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
If you have a message for our listeners, a message of enlightenment, a message of love, a message of action, what would that message be? Now, I know I'm throwing you a curveball.
No.
No? Well, you got a big smile over. Why? You thought I was going to say that?
Because actually, I was making notes on what I would wanted to mention. and it has to do with what you just said.
Oh, my goodness. What? You're going to make me cry. Because I always say that the Holy Spirit controls the show.
It does. That's for sure.
And I never know what I'm going to say. I never know what a fool I'm going to make out of myself. And I never even know the questions I'm going to ask. So, I think that question is proof positive that this show is being run by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for the acclamation.
So, when you asked me about some songs, and there was one, Breathe, right? Why?
And when you sent me that song,
yes,
and I gave it to Joan, I says to myself, not to Joan, where did she ever get that song? Joan's never going to get that song. And then Joan come back, she says, hey, I got Breathe.
So we are made in the image and likeness of God. Okay, when God created us, we are made in His image. What does that mean? We are made with infinite life. Yes, our body will die at one point, but our life will continue. So that is one way. And as Catholics and Christians, we believe in a soul. So breathe, okay? God gave us all a purpose. And it's up to us, and we are also made, science and psychology are coming out with some new things. The church is always first in saying what they say, and science usually follows along hundreds of years later,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Just about, yep.
Yeah.
So now science and psychology are now discovering God, okay? They are saying, there is a God. And there are things, have you heard of mindfulness? Have you ever heard of that, right?
Somewhat.
Okay, so it's when you calm yourself down for people who don't believe in God, they calm themselves down and meditate. For Christians or even Catholics, we calm ourselves down. We have the exposition of the Holy Eucharist. We believe we have the true presence of God there. And we commune with God. Science and psychology is saying we are made to believe in a God. We are made to commune with God. That's our personhood. And we are made that as we go through life to commune with God, and He will show us what our purpose is. And you brought up Saint Faustina, and she said, we are made so distinctly differently that God speaks to us in a different way, to each one of us in a different manner. That's our purpose. That's our personhood.
That's who we are.
Wow.
That's who we are.
So that was a good thing I brought up Saint Faustina.
Yes, it is.
You hear that, Joan?
I heard that.
You hear that, babe?
Oh, yes.
Unbelievable.
So now, personhood, the movement, yes, we are fighting abortion, but we also try to protect human life at the end of life. New York has 2 assisted suicide bills. So, but you want to know this enlightenment thing. So, personhood. Now, if society was made. I see. I only have a few minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
So society is made to from natural law. Okay. If you study natural law, how society and governments are formed, all through natural law. And any time we have distractions in our life that pull us away from God, we are not meeting our purpose. Buddhists have their way of explaining that. Catholics have, you're being distracted by evil. by sin, by the devil. He's pulling right. you away. He's jealous. He doesn't want us to go to God, right? So there are distractions which pull us away from meeting our personhood, from meeting our communion with God. Today in New York, we have something called assisted suicide, okay? And it's going rampant through the country and it's around the world. That is one of the distractions that pulls us away at the end of life, that pulls us away from our from fulfilling our complete personhood. When we die, and if we die a natural death, and we die the way God wants us to die, in communion with Him, when we die, we come face to face with the Holy Trinity, and we recognize and realize our full personhood. We come one to one with the personhood of the Trinity and our own personhood that God. We are. So this thing at the end of life with assisted suicide.
That takes it all away.
Just takes it all away.
Takes it away.
Takes it away.
Yeah.
Abortion ends it at the end. So that's the message.
Wow, I think that was
great.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that was, oh my God, I didn't expect so much. I think that was a great answer. My last question, I don't know, this we don't have too much time.
Okay,
but
I'll make
what
it quick.
I want to know is, what's your vision statement for what you're doing?
My vision statement?
Yeah. What do you expect your vision to be? You're doing a lot of work.
I expect.
You're doing groundwork.
Yes.
You're running here. You're running there.
Yeah.
You do talks. Do you do talks?
Yes.
You do talks. And
yes. And I will be doing.
Does your organization also help girls that are in situations?
We know the bylaws aren't set up that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you are.
I could refer the girls.
Referring.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And I could refer a lot of people to you,
yes,
by the way,
yes,
and
yes.
We probably will.
Yes. And Gloria Schreiber from the Life Center, we're friends.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
she's going
to
be on again.
She has to come back.
What?
I don't think we can get all.
No,
the
we can't get much of that. But in any event,
I have
a few minutes. Could we just say a prayer?
Yes.
For our petitions.
Yes.
Can I just
absolutely.
One thing before we do
go ahead,
that. Joan. Okay. For those of you who don't know. Or who knew Father Casimir, you may have heard that he passed away unexpectedly a couple of weeks ago. He was only sick for a short time. But a memorial mass is going to be held for Father tonight, April 2nd, at 6:30 at the large chapel on the grounds of St. Francis Hospital. So that's tonight at 6:30.
Okay.
For anyone who's interested.
Okay. Let's say a quick prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Mother and the Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to do this radio show. We'll continue as long as you want us to continue. Thank you for bringing us Dawn and to sharing with us with the things that she wanted to share. And we lift up our petitions, all the people that ask for prayers, all the people that are suffering, all the people that need your help. We lift them up and we put them into your hands. And we close this show, Jesus, with saying, thank you, Jesus. We love you and we are in your hands. Praise Jesus.
Praise Jesus. Thank you for personhood.
From the heart of the nautical mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240.